We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I'm talking with John Clark, professor of telecommunications at the University of Kentucky, one of the finest basketball universities in America.
That's right. And we have a great agricultural college, too.
True, true. And we are talking about spam and spyware. So, John, on spam, you pointed out that that with both spam and spyware, that a technical solution is never going to get us 100% of the way there, and a legal solution isn't going to get us 100% of the way there. Both of them present problems. But let me tell you a little story about a technical solution that is working for me. Of course, I use a desktop email client, right? For folks out there that listen to the show regularly, you know there is two primary ways to get your email. One is to link out to a website, like people that get free emails from Yahoo and Hotmail and AOL, or you pay for that, but AOL or any of the free services.
Well, there are any number of them.
And you go out to the website and you look at your email there, and I find that relatively slow. Or you can have a desktop client, a piece of software on your desktop, so that it goes out to your email and downloads it all and brings it to your desktop. So I use Eudora because I learned to use that when I was at the University of Kentucky.
And I use Eudora, too. And interestingly enough, the University of Kentucky is going to quit supporting Eudora within the next 6 months or so.
And what are they going to?
Well, web-based solutions.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that is interesting because, of course, we're not going to get into those differences today. But
and, of course, it's not free. It's the university's IMAP solution, but it's not. It's not like Hotmail or Yahoo or anything like that.
Right, right.
The idea is to be able to access your email anywhere from any computer in a really easy fashion.
I understand.
So that's the benefit of it supposedly, but I am committed to a client solution, and I probably will always be.
Yeah, me too. So, but all I was going to say was that Eudora offers a nice spam filter, and that what a normal spam filter on a desktop machine, what it does is it filters messages that it suspects are spam into a separate mailbox. In Eudora's case, it's called junk, and you can then peruse that mail, look at it, and see if there's anything that shouldn't be in there, and move it back to your inbox.
Right.
And it's pretty simple to do. So, and that works for me pretty well. But George Mason just started something interesting. I have email accounts in several locations, including my andyfinn.us web location, my Cox cable modem is my ISP, and they have a location. I've got email addresses there, and then I've got an email address at George Mason. And at George Mason University, they just introduced a server-based spam program. So I get a message once or twice a day if I've gotten suspected spam that day, and it comes in as a regular message, and it says, the following messages have been flagged and removed from your inbox and placed in the spam in the suspected spam category, and here they are, and it gives me a brief description of who it's from, and I see most of the subject matter, and it says, click here if you want to unspam it and have it delivered to your mailbox,
right.
And then it will remember that mailbox after that, and so I've had a few that it didn't let through that it should have, but mostly it's catching a lot of spam. And
well,
we
have that at the University of Kentucky, too.
Well, but that is not a bad solution. It catches a fair amount of it.
Right. And not only will that work, too, but you can tell your Eudora client, once you've identified a particular sender, you can, of course, always have that come through as well. I've got two email addresses only. One is my university address, and the other is my private address with a local provider called QX.net. And I use them for two different things. Part of the problem is that so much of the mail I get at the university is work-related, and so I'm on numerous mailing lists, and so I get things from the International Engineering Consortium, I get things from ICA, International Communication Association, and from AEJMC, And all those are identified as spam.
And from the FCC, the Federal Communism Commission?
Right. I'm throwing out too many acronyms, I know. But the thing is so much of the mail that I want to see is identified as spam because it's a mass mailing.
Right.
And I have to set my spam filter relatively low on my machine at work so that I get the things that I want to see, but at the same time, it lets a lot of things through. My home email address, I don't anticipate receiving anything like that, and I'll have to say QX.net is just absolutely superb. They're superior at filtering spam. In my home address, I have maybe two or three messages in my junk box a week, as opposed to my email address at the university where 75% of what I receive goes into my junk box.
Now,
the interesting thing about it is, and here's one other aspect, is part of the way that the spam filter works, and they're constantly expanding this, is to look at strings of characters within the message itself. And there are a number of ways that spammers have tried to get around this. So if there's something that, you know, is about a mortgage offer or something like that, instead of using O's in the word mortgage, they'll use the zero character.
Right, right.
And so they look for weird strings of characters, and they keep expanding the weird strings of characters they look at. But one of the things I've discovered is that students, in emailing me, will make typing errors that look like weird strings, and they get diverted to the junk box.
Interesting.
And so I've been looking in my junk box and discovering that I'm getting email, personal email from students or from other people that has typos in it, and therefore it gets diverted to the junk box.
Well, as a former professor, I have to agree. If it has typos in it, it's junk.
Right. Well, that's only if you got a red pencil in your hand.
I just use red ink on my keyboard, you know?
Right.
Well, okay, so spam, the solution to spam is perhaps partially a legal solution. That is, they could ban it, although it's going to be very tough to enforce, and partially a technical solution.
Well, the one thing we haven't talked about is international agreements. And that would be just a gigantic undertaking. Absolutely huge.
Don't you think we'll be outsourcing our spam to China and India soon?
Yeah, right. Or listen, what we should be doing is outsourcing our law enforcement.
Well, that's true.
To India or China soon.
Well, so spam is such a huge problem. There are billions of messages of email passed around per day, and estimates are now we're well above 50% of all of it is junk mail, is spam, unsolicited commercial email.
Yeah.
And they're talking about it being above 70% now.
Above 70%, that's correct.
Yep. Yeah, it's a severe problem. And think of
what it means, too, in terms of lost productivity at work, you know, and consumption of network resources.
Oh, I know it. Every time the subject matter says enlarge your instrument, I mean, I go to check it out to see if it's real. And then I find out they're not talking about my monitor or my keyboard. They're talking about something else.
Well, what's interesting is I've gotten a lot of spam in the last few months that has a pretty explicitly sexual subject line. You take a look at it, and what they're really trying to sell you is, you know, refinancing your mortgage.
But it's a sexy mortgage.
That's right.
All right, well, we will
those
be
those of us with a particular bent of mind.
That's right. We'll be back after this.